final service here of our preacher's conference. Thank you so much for being here. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Grab a hymnal. And Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in our first hymn. He'll introduce the name and the number and make sure that you sing out. You did a great job in the first service. Let's continue that at this time.
384, please. 384 in the service of the King. 384.
Singing. Thank you so much for that. And we are going to do something. We're going to pray here in just a moment. And Brother Pritchett, did you find the owner of that key? There was a single Ford key found downstairs that I'm assuming belongs to somebody here, because I don't think anybody in our church lost a key that I'm aware of. Maybe Brother Wendell is the owner of that. And you win a car, Brother Wendell. Come back next year. Come back next year and we'll give away something even better. It won't be a Ford this time. It'll be a Chevy. And it's only a 14. We don't have much money to give away fancy trucks here. So, very good.
It's a Ford key. It was a prayer request.
It was a prayer request. There you go. Amen. Amen. We do want to pray for the wife of our missionary friend that's here today visiting us. Brother Mashama is his name, and last name Kinyonga. Saying that right? All right, very good. And remember, I mentioned his wife has a serious health situation. It's colon cancer, and it has been stage 3 for a while, but they did find a spot on the liver, which means it's probably stage 4 now because it's metastasizing. And so it's not looking good unless the Lord performs a miracle, which he's obviously capable of, and we need to pray about that. And so I told him that we would pray for him. And so I'm going to ask just for, let me do 2 volunteers, if I could. Just be willing to pray whatever the Lord would lay on your heart right here with us. Brief time, I realize, but maybe you can remember even beyond this to continue to pray for him. But can I get 2 volunteers maybe that'd be willing to pray over that? One first. All right, Brother Mike Marshall, if you would. Somebody else that'd be willing to do that. One more, don't be shy. This is just like in my church. I thought with pastors it'd be different. All right, Brother Dahl, if you would. I appreciate that. So Brother Marshall, you first, Brother Dahl next, and then I'll ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Go ahead, Brother Mike, if you would. Yes. Yes.
Come to you this day where it's beautiful outside and look and enjoy your creation.
Mm-hmm.
We come with a solemn request.
Yes, Lord.
Our dear brother's wife is struggling with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm sure that everybody in this room know somebody right now who is in some battle with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone who has won the battle with cancer, or someone who has lost the battle with cancer. Or it is a result of sin in our world.
Yeah.
But Lord, I am so thankful that you have the greatest position.
Mm-hmm.
But in our church, we have seen in the past year a man who the doctor said would never see victory over his cancer. Be clear of his cancer.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that you would do the same thing.
Yeah, Lord, would you please? Yes, Lord, please do that.
Lord, I know that it will weigh heavily on his heart through this entire process. He cares for her. It affects every aspect of his life, his ministry, his personal walk,
mm-hmm.
being challenged through the trial. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen him, strengthen his faith, strengthen his wife's faith
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yes.
Lord, may this be a time of joy in the Lord, even though the
happiness yes.
may be gone from time to time. Lord, more than anything, use this time in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Through the spirit that is in them, through what you do through the situation, Lord, I know that you do not always answer these prayers in the way that we expect that you should.
Mm.
But Lord, I know that you always answer these prayers in the way that brings you honor.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, I ask that you would bring praise to
mm-hmm.
I ask that you would use this family to spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ where you have placed
them.
I ask us all that your name would be magnified in the name of your Son.
Amen.
Father, I come to this afternoon, and Lord, I am thankful to pray unto you, Lord, thankful that you hear us. Lord, that you desire us. I pray that you watch over our lives today. I pray that you put your hand upon our body.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I pray that you watch over our husband and their kids. Lord, it's a heavy time. It's a hard time. It's sobering. Father, we know that you're able.
Yes, Lord.
About that. God, we know that if you're willing, she will be.
Yes.
Yet, Father, we know that you will. And I just pray that, Father, that your will, of course, will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that God, you give grace, mercy, understanding. Father, we desire to.
Mm-hmm.
Father, if you're willing, I pray that you would just simply take this away.
Yes.
Healing is not found in the doctor's office or in the doctor's diagnosis. Lord, you are the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I pray that through all this, Brother John, Lord and Martha would know that the goodness of God is
great. Yes.
That will never fail. Father, I know that you love them both more than we could ever hope to love.
Mm-hmm.
God, encourage him in this time. Thank you for his spirit. Father, watch over them.
Mm-hmm.
Watch over them in the days ahead. I pray that as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, as you united people from different sides of the world already, I pray that you bring us even closer.
Yes.
Help us to be an encouragement to
you. Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray through all of it that somehow, someway, Father, of course, you give the glory, that Christ would be lifted up and magnified, that the gospel would be go forward in a more powerful way.
Yes.
But Father, our heart just goes out to this couple, goes out to Martha especially. Please, God, touch your body. Christ,
yes. And Lord, I agree, and I do ask, Lord, that you would heal. We lay that at your feet. Lord, we know, again, you are able. We do believe you. You said that we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, we're leaving it at your throne. We are asking you to heal. And Lord, bless Brother Mashama, bless his wife Martha, their children, Lord, watch over and protect them. We place them in your care, trusting you to care for them. Now, Lord, would you have your hand upon this service that we have? Bless Brother Young as he preaches. Bless our singing, Lord, all that we do. May it honor and glorify Christ and edify us to serve you better, to be better prepared as the shepherds of the flock that you've placed under our care, Lord. Help us and do great things through this meeting for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. And Brother Adrian is going to come and lead us in our second hymn.
441, please. 441, great is thy faithfulness. 441. Thank you. get to that chorus. Let's do that a cappella. If you can do a part, please do so. Here we go.
Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth.
To come and lead songs for us. He took off of work today, so we could do that. Has a very important job at the VA hospital and takes time to come and support the meeting. I appreciate that very much. And our piano player has been Mrs. Abby Grossen, just a faithful member, she and her husband, and in our church, and Adrian's wife, and also Mrs. Grossen are taking care of the kids. I appreciate their faithfulness in that, and just great, great church members. And again, I mentioned it before, I am a spoiled pastor. I really am. Great people. They are not perfect. They are sheep, and sometimes they stick their tongue out at me. Although not these two. But some of them do every once in a while. But I am very spoiled. They're great people. It's a privilege to pastor this church. I'm thankful for it. And I appreciate that. They're a blessing to me. And I hope I can be a blessing to them in return. But Brother Young has been a great blessing to us, hasn't he? Been a privilege to have him. And of course, we were spoiled over the weekend as well at our church here. He preached for us all day on Sunday, and I just thoroughly enjoyed that. It was a time of refreshing for me personally, and I was helped by the messages that he brought on Sunday and the time of fellowship with him yesterday and now today. It's just been just a full time of good fellowship. He has to leave early tomorrow morning, fly back to New York State, but it's been a privilege to have him with us today. He's going to come with one final message for us here in just a little bit. And then after that, by the way, brother, there will be an opportunity for an invitation after that. Mrs. Mary Weiss will be willing to play piano for an invitation if you feel led for that. So don't be afraid on that. But right before that message, Brother Pritchett's going to come, and we're going to sing again. I'm making him work. He's not paid staff anymore, but I'm still making him work. And so, Brother Pritchett, you come, and that is a blessing.
When truth has fallen in the streets, and mockers scoff and scorn, when hosts of darkness rule the day, and hearts and homes are torn, then cry aloud, lift up your voice, with trumpet warning clear, proclaim the truth and preach the word, ignite revival here. When winds of compromise blow soft, enticing saints to sin, when holiness is set aside and Satan seems to win, then cry aloud, lift up your voice, with trumpet warning clear, proclaim the truth and preach the word, ignite revival here. When gospel light grows low and dim, and
saints their Savior lose. When Christians live for earthly gain and selfish motives choose, then cry aloud, lift up your voice with trumpet warning clear. Proclaim the truth and preach the word. Ignite revival here. When saints begin to see their need and call upon God's name, when prayer ascends with confidence His promises to claim, then cry aloud, lift up your voice with trumpet warning clear. Proclaim the truth and preach the word. Ignite revival here. Proclaim the truth and preach the word. Ignite revival here.
Thank you, gentlemen. That was a blessing. I love to hear men sing. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. We'll not be long in this time. I know it's getting back to your homes and everything. Thank you for coming. This is, we've had the commercial. Now we go back to the Tim Young Show. Sorry about that. But Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, my thought this afternoon is this. Be committed to finish well. A lot of people get in the ministry and they don't finish well, and they're not committed to finishing well. And we need to, so to speak, re-enlist or re-up or whatever, or get recapped or recharged or whatever on a regular basis, because we carry a great load. There's no doubt about that. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. Look there and follow along with me as I read aloud from verse 1 down through verse 9, if you would, please. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, reading from verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless, help us in this last time together, for the time being. I pray you'd bless each and every ministry represented. Lord, thank you for the privilege that I've had to be here, just to meet God's people and God's men that are doing a work in this area. And I pray that you'd continue to bless. Thank you for the privilege, but Lord, help us to be committed to finishing well. In Christ's name, amen. Sometimes you wonder how you ended up where you are. I know with my coming from the background I have, but You remember the story about the king that always enjoyed competition among his subjects, and so one day he called them down by the castle to the moat that surrounded the castle. And he said, listen, the competition today is this, which was just another one in a series of all his competitions he'd have with his subjects. He said to the man, he said, now listen, he said, we're going to have competition today, and you get the choice of one of three things if you win the competition. If you win the competition, you can either choose a half to my kingdom, you can choose my daughter's hand in marriage, or you can have the throne after I'm gone. And he said, now you need to understand what the competition is. You're going to swim across the moat, and the first one who gets across the moat living will get an opportunity to choice of those three things. He said, but I need to let you know that we've filled the moat with all types of carnivorous creatures. I mean, there's alligators in there. There's everything that want to eat a piece of your flesh. And so he said, but if somebody wins, of course, they get a choice of half the kingdom or my daughter's hand in marriage or the kingdom after I'm gone. And so while he was saying that, he said, but be aware that you could die in route. And about the time he said that, all of a sudden there was a splash in the water and everybody turned around and here was this guy going across the moat like a motorboat. I mean, he's wailing and flailing, trying to get across that puppy. And finally, and nobody else figured, they figured they didn't have a chance against him because, I mean, he's halfway across already. So they go over to the drawbridge, run over there, get on the edge by where the shoreline was, where he was going to come out on the inside of that moat. And finally, the guy comes up out of the water. And the king said, I had never guessed anybody to made it across there alive, but you did. And he said, what is it you'd like to have? And the fella, of course, he's got his hands on his knees. He's drawing air. He sounds like a bagpipe with asthma, you know. He's just sucking air. And he said, well, what do you want? You want half the kingdom? Half the kingdom? And the fellow says, no. He said, that's not what I want. He said, you want my throne after I'm gone? He says, no. He said, sire, that's not what I want either. Oh, he says, oh, I know. You want my daughter's hand in marriage so you can have all of it. And he said, no, that's not what I want either. And the king said, what could you possibly want? He said, I want the guy to push me in. Sometimes that's the way we feel in the ministry. Like, who got me into this thing, you know? I don't remember stepping across the line, you know, to protect the Constitution of the United States and things. So I'm just saying that sometimes we get in there, but the key is trying to finish well, and that's everybody, husbands and wives and children, and realizing that's critical. That's why it says in Hebrews, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Finisher of our faith. Now, there's no doubt living the Christian life in the present day from my experience and how long I've been saved is very different than it was 50 years ago, or 51 years ago, actually. I mean, it's very different. The climate, anti-Christian behavior, I mean, everything seems to be aimed. And, of course, we are not in any type of turmoil like some of our brothers and sisters across the globe that have suffered life and limb and children and everything else. But we have experienced a difference. So sometimes it's a little tougher. And once we were, in a sense, a majority, or those that believed that there was a God in heaven, the Bible is the Word of God, but now we're in a minority in that element. And not only that, you know the devil has raised up his troops to target the Christians. They don't target other religions. They target Christianity. So we understand that, and we are the ones that are probably a primary target, you know, to that, not only by the world, but more so our adversary, the devil. So what we have to do is commit to finishing what task the Lord's given us. I don't care if somebody's a Sunday school teacher, teaching that class to the finish. Finishing that ministry God has given me. I mean, finish well. There are a lot of people that start a lot of things, but don't finish so well. And that's a real tragedy when you think about it. He wants us to. Philippians, the third chapter, familiar portion of Scripture. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm all in. That's the way I'm going. Now, he did make some statements there that I think would help us. First of all, he said, I've not yet apprehended. In other words, he'd not arrived yet. There were still some things he was learning, still some things he was doing. And you and I have not arrived either. We may have more scars, more knowledge, more whatever the case, but we're still not there yet. All that was in preparation for what he may have for us for going forward. But he said, I've not yet apprehended it. Not got it all. I know there's more out ahead of me. And we have to realize as well. Also, he said this. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, we always think about the bad times. But the fact is, there are some people who are living today on, you know, from the accolades of yesterday. But they're all in the record books. Don't worry about that. It's what am I doing today? This is the day which the Lord hath made. Yeah. Now, worry about that. Don't even have to worry about it. God takes care of that. Even Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Now, certainly about our sin or life or whatever, but it's in his hands. I got to go forward. I got to commit myself to get to the finish line. To what God's got for a finish line. He knows the day of your birth. He knows the day of your death. That's the finish line, or his coming. And so we need to be busy and continue on, regardless where we are. So we need to realize that truth of the fact we haven't arrived yet, and I don't mean to heaven, I mean arrive as to what God's going to do with us. We release the past. In other words, sometimes people rest in their accomplishments. Sometimes they dwell on their past hurts. Sometimes they focus on past failures. Well, get over it. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just saying, all right, you can't go back. You can't drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. So you're not going to be going forward. You're going to be looking at the past. The third thing is this. Regain the zeal that you once had. He said, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm going forward as far as that. There's things in the past I wish I'd go back and change, but guess what? It ain't going to happen. Excuse the English, but school's out now most places. But the idea is that we're looking forward. What are we going to do tomorrow? Well, you don't know. I remember the time when we used to blah, 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 and you could blah, blah. Hey, no, me too. But I'm going forward. Can't live back there. Yeah, I remember too. But let's go forward because we'll get ourselves discouraged about today because of what we experienced yesterday. And we don't want to do that. Paul was concerned about that, and he regained his zeal. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, as I made mention, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, here it is, that is set before us, not behind us, before us, looking unto Jesus, of course, it says in verse 2. The fourth thing this thing is to consider what Paul did is he said, resume the race. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is not only for the youth as they start out in a race to look and say, this is what I'd like to have the Lord use me for. And by the way, if you really want to make the Lord laugh, tell him your plans. How's that working for you? You know, as far as, well, that's not what I plan. The thing is you're trusting the Lord going forward to keep in the race, stay in the race. I had mentioned earlier that I'd run a marathon or in a marathon last month. I hate to run. I mean, if you even throw a stick, I'll chase it, but just to run. Now, I've run a lot of 10Ks, 5Ks. That's the first time. I never ran a half marathon. Next year, I'm hoping to do a 50K, which is 30 miles. I was, you know, just 4 miles short. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take the 26.2 that I ran this year and add for next year, and I've run 50K. It just took me a little longer than most people. But the idea is to train for me. Now, there are people who go out and they'll run all day long. I have a son that, well, he's been in CrossFit. He's been in that since he was in high school. And he doesn't, he's strong as a stinking ox, and even a sweet-smelling ox. But the thing is that, I mean, he's strong, but he doesn't mind running either. And he ran 45 miles that day. And my 13-year-old grandson ran 45 miles that day. They can have it. I mean, they left me at the starting line as far as that. Or I left them, you know, go ahead. But I'm just saying, and the thing is now he does a lot of CrossFit, which is a training your old body. Now, but he's big, but he doesn't wear his little brother's T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And when you say, where's the restroom? He doesn't go. you know, situation. He does it because that's where he, I played sports. He just, that's what he enjoys. You wouldn't know, and he wouldn't tell you about it unless you ask, you know, what he does. But he does those things. But it's a matter, I cannot train for a run. How do you go out and run and prepare for 26.2 miles? You mean, they have a program, you start out, and by the time you get maybe a week or two out, you're running 17, 22 miles. Somebody is. That's what the program says. I don't do it. I run it all up here. I just keep going until I fall, things, parts start falling off, you know, like an old car. But the thing is, but you get me amongst a group of people running, you know, I hate to say it this way, but usually what I do is try to find a well-upholstered individual and keep up with them. You know, pick out somebody who's well-upholstered and say, I think I can keep up with them. When I find out I can't keep up with them, I find another one. As far as that, the motivation of seeing other people moving rather than just stand out there, run to run. You know what I mean? So it's important. Two are better than one. You know, it does help us. So these kind of meetings do help us more than we think. I know it takes time out of your day, but getting together, enjoying the fellowship, sharing testimonies of different things. It's not the preaching, ripping people's hide off and everything else. We got sheep to do that. You know, we don't have to invite our friends to do it to us in that. So Paul resumed the race. Paul was determined to finish well. There's a couple things we see from Nehemiah. First of all, have a compelling life focus on the finish line. See what I mean? I don't want to say to make your plans and this is exactly how I'm going to arrive at it in this one. I want to finish well. I'm going to be walking with the Lord. I want to be sharing my faith. I want to be serving the Lord in some capacity when the door opens for me. That's important for us to understand. Nehemiah is a pretty obscure figure in the scriptures. And yet, he is remembered for one thing, completing the wall in Jerusalem. He got her done. Now, great people are oftentimes remembered for one thing, not many things. They did this or that. You know, there was a focus. So sometimes this idea of thinking, it's really difficult to do all things well, but if we can focus on that which we feel God's allowed us to be competent enough and capable enough and opportunity enough to get it done, then the thing is we have to finish well, get it done. A school student should finish well as a Christian. You know, not just get through, but you're saved. I got saved when I was in school for phys ed. I said, what do I got to do to graduate? They said, you got to carry C's. I can do that. I had no motivation to get A's or B's. Because I noticed diplomas from colleges don't put your GPA on them. Isn't that bad? That's in my flesh. When I transferred from a two-year school to a state university, I had to pick up a couple sciences. I had anatomy, physiology, not chemistry, kinesiology, study of movement. What was the other one? Another science. I had four sciences. I had seven courses, and I had those four sciences. But anyway, I can't think of what they are. But the thing is, I went from getting C's, because as a Christian, that semester I got five A's and two B's, in the hardest semester I ever had, because I was a Christian. You know, I had a philosophy teacher, and he was telling different types of philosophy 101 in a secular university. And so he's going through all the various philosophies that people believe in. He got to Christianity, and all the other ones he told what it is. Got to Christianity, he kind of make a mockery of it. You know, you're carrying this sin. You know, it's like 80 students there, you know, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, with heads full of mush, you know, that are being formed and whatnot. And he's making a mockery. He's carrying this heavy burden. And, you know, I mean, it was just kind of a mockery of Christianity. So I went up to Dr. Widebottom's office after the class. And so I said, Doc, can I ask you a question? That's always a good thing to do is, you said I could ask. So I said, can I ask you a question? Yes. And he said I could. And I said, Doctor, what? He was a doctor of philosophy. He said, I said, what do you hold for yourself as a philosophy for life? He said, well, you know, I really don't know. I said, well, how is it that you can take all these philosophies and when you get to Christianity, you make a mockery of it? Well, you throw me out of your class. The thing is he said, he, you know, kind of head went down. He said, well, you know, I guess I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, the fact is your life changes when you trust Christ. So you want to finish well in everything you do. You know, I mean, as good as somebody else, you may not be able to play as well or sing as well or preach as well or whatever the case, but that's not it. Finish well is what you can do. Have a compelling life focus. Secondly, avoid distraction. Don't get distracted by things. Preachers get distracted by all kinds of types of ministries, and I have been involved in politics, but that was back from the 80s, and I pastored churches and stuff, but it wasn't like I left the pastorate or anything else. I just felt that as a citizen, I had an opportunity to make contact with my representatives. I think a Christian should. They're a citizen as far as that, but I'm not going to leave it to do that. As far as the ministry, because that's what God's called me. And I think the answer, so don't obviously be distracted away from what God has for you to do. Jesus had his face set as a flint towards Jerusalem, and then, you know, Peter, James, and John wanted to build tabernacles on the Mount of Transfiguration, say, let's hang around here a while. But Jesus had business to take care of, even down at the bottom of the hill. So we certainly want to avoid distractions and, you know, things that would draw our attention away. Be unswayed by gossip and negative accusations. You know, I feel bad that there's so much information that goes on that we have no reason to know anything about it. One night about 11 o'clock, this is back when they had landlines. Again, Mike, if you go to the museum, you'll see them. The phone rang about 11 o'clock on Saturday night. And there was a fellow, who was a pastor I've known for a while, and he called me and he said, Brother Young, he said, I heard that Brother Hiles resigned the First Baptist Church Hammond. I said, his name was Gomez. I said, Brother Gomez, not Keith either, but I said, Brother Gomez, I said, you know, he normally doesn't call me on issues like that. Good night. He didn't resign, you know. I mean, don't get sidetracked on something. If it comes to your plate, fine. You got to deal with it, fine. But if you're out there looking for information, it's out there, but it gets you distracted, pulls you away. Don't get swayed by it. And by the way, there's nobody that lives in Africa that got $50 million that wants to put it in your bank account, okay? So don't answer that email, all right? I mean, there's so much out there to draw you away. Nehemiah denied the rumors about that he was going to take over in Judah and be the king. He sought God's support in everything to strengthen his hand. He went back to work. He said, I'm too busy. I got work to do. And he didn't allow those things to sway him. Don't rely on your own strength. Don't think that just because, you know, age or whatever, you're strong enough. No, you're not. And you may end up using that strength to destroy rather than to build. Act on faith and trust. Really, that's where you walk with the Lord. And that, to me, I naturally, in my early years as a Christian, it was easier to do that. That sounds funny, doesn't it? It was easier to walk with the Lord because I was on uncharted territory. I didn't grow up in a preacher's home. It was all, and Lord helped me to figure out what to do on these. But I shouldn't get to a place of feeling like I got to handle it from here. That'd be a danger. Stay focused on God's will for your life. Stay focused on God's will. Don't say, I don't know, I'm praying about something, God's will for my life. No, he knows your phone number. And if he calls you and he presses you about something, you guys know, and people in the ministry know, how many times God gets blamed for a lot of things. And God never intended for that to happen. Can I tell you a personal story? When I was at Bible college, when I graduated in 1979, I was 29, and they asked me to stay at the college, Hiles Anderson, stay there and to work at the college in the administration. I did for a semester, but that isn't what God called me to do. I realized. So I went in to see Brother Hiles, and I had my wife, Mary Ann, with me. We went in to see Brother Hiles. I said, Brother Hiles, I don't believe that this is what the Lord would have me to do. You know, with my life as a Christian and as a preacher. And I said, so I believe I'm impressed to go back to my home area where I lived for 22 years, never had the gospel shared with me, and go back there and start a church. Now, they're always worried about, and understandably, you know, I got to go home. That wasn't the point, because a prophet is not without honor saving his own country. You know what I mean? And I was from a small town. I said, I believe that's what the Lord had me do. He said, Tim, I don't believe it's God's will for you to do that. And he said it right in front of my wife. Wives have good memories. So about 3 years into it, I remember we're laying in a pillow talk, you know, and she said, you know, Brother Hiles told you that it wasn't your God's will. And I jumped out of bed and I believe it's God's will. We're sticking it out, you know. But you know what? About 13 years into it, or thereabouts, 13 years later, 10, 13 years later, I had Brother Hiles at the church. There were 900 people there to come hear him speak. It wasn't because, you know, they're running our church. You know, the thing is at times he drew, you know, quite a crowd in different areas. And so about 900 people there. And so I had never said anything to anybody about God, you know, Brother Hiles saying it wasn't God's will. Like, in God's will, but look what's taking place, you know. You know, God go, you know, and I'm done. So he gets up, and I introduce him, and he gets up, and he said, you know, I told, and it was unsolicited, he said, I told Tim that I didn't believe it was God's will for him to come here and start a church. But obviously, I was wrong. I mean, I didn't take a victory lap or anything, but he went way up in my charts. You know, as far as being able to say, you know what, I was wrong about that. And the thing is you need to know what God's will. Be concerned with God's will for your life. That's what God wants me to be. That's going to be important for you. There's no doubt about that. You need to resolve to finish the course. Finish my course. Kept the faith. Our brother from Tanzania, when he said that, I said, you know what, I'm going to use an illustration today about Tanzania. He thought it was about him, but no, he's not. That's fine. No. And by the way, I would encourage you to get one of the cards that he has, take it to your church and say, folks, let's pray for this man. His wife is in four-stage cancer. When it goes from a location and starts metastasizing, she needs our prayers. And so take that. I've got a card. I'm going to take it with my wife and I'll pray, and I'll take it to our son's church and say, I call him Doc, but I'll say, Doc, call, you know, we need to pray for this missionary, this man and his dear wife. They have a child that's 14 years old, and then what's the next stage? Five? 5 years old, three, and then a brand new one, and 2 years old. They need their mama. And wouldn't it behoove us to pray for them? I know we desire for God to bless our family. But in Tanzania, in 1968, the Summer Olympics were in Mexico City. And there was a marathon that was going to be run, 26.2 miles. And there were 75 runners that entered into that race, three from each country of the countries that wanted to enter in to the marathon. John Akawi was from Tanzania, his country. John Stephen Akawi came there to run the marathon. That day when he ran, some of us remember after the fact, I mean, we may not have, you know, watch a whole marathon you don't do. You know, you just wait to the end and see, you know, how they come across the line. A fellow from Egypt had won at the two previous Olympics, and actually he ended up winning it in 1968 in Mexico City. John Akawi was 30 years old. He started out in the race like everyone else, but it wasn't far into the race that he tangled up with other runners. They went down very hard, and he injured himself, in a sense, severely, that he had to be bandaged up by the emergency people and everything. And when they bandaged his leg up and his one leg severely, the fact is he got back up on his feet, and John Stephen Akawi ran the entire race, though he was way behind, never to place, never to come in a contention for any place in that race. When he came into the Coliseum, which they normally would take a few laps to finish the race, the winner of the race had left the stadium an hour and a half earlier with his gold medal and the silver and the bronze, whoever those winners were. The crowd, the stands were pretty well empty. It was getting dusk. And John Stephen Akawi, limping all the way around that stadium, running on that to finish the race, came to the conclusion. The few people that were left sitting in the stands stood up and applauded him that he came in. I mean, everybody had left. All the race runners were done. The media came up afterwards and said to Mr. Akawi, said, you were injured. And when you got up to start running, you knew there was no way you could win. Why did you continue the race? And this is what he said. He said, my country did not send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race. Jesus didn't send you here to start the race. He sent you here to finish the race. Paul Harvey. And the rest of the story. So I've been telling that story because it's amazing to me. John Stephen Akawi was invited to the man that reached this man with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sent him off to Bible school, Jerry Wyatt, invited Stephen John Akawi, an older man now, invited him to be on a broadcast with him, and he had an opportunity to win him to Christ. Isn't that an amazing story? That's a blessing, you know, to hear that he had won that man to Christ, but he said, my country didn't send me here to start the race, sent me here to finish the race. Jesus didn't send me here to start the race. He wants me to finish it. Regardless of how I get across that line, limping or whatever the case may be, because that's what he sent us here. Now, I don't know what your dominant eye has been in recent days or whatever, but maybe you need to get to the ophthalmologist. And maybe you ought to say, you know what? That's an encouragement to me. Look up the story, John Akawi. And the thing is maybe it's the fact of saying, you know what? I'm going to finish this race. And I think we should be challenged by the evidence we find in the Bible of individuals that did that very thing. And obviously, we see that in our text verse tonight, or this afternoon. Let's finish the race. Let's all stand together and bow our heads for word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and challenge our hearts. Lord, maybe just in the different illustrations, the conversation, or maybe the teaching, maybe a Bible verse spoke to our hearts. Maybe we sometimes, as those who would lead others spiritually, need sometimes to bend a knee before you and get to the ophthalmologist to make sure our eyesight is correct. When we understand that, Lord, help us to be challenged and motivated to finish the race that is set before us. I pray that you bless the thought. And Lord, we're going to have an invitation. You've perhaps spoken to individuals' hearts. Sometimes it's hard for us to break from tradition of not necessarily being the one at the altar, but maybe you need to see us there. You know how to speak to your people. Pray that you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As she plays a hymn of invitation, maybe you need to get to the altar and ask the Lord to bless.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Pastor Young. I appreciate that. That was a good reminder for us and a good challenge to finish well. I know Satan works very hard to try to get us to not finish, to quit. And I've heard from several pastors recently of just satanic thoughts coming into their mind about just quitting, just throwing in the towel, being done. And I want to encourage you, don't allow that voice to enter in and gain any ground. Finish well for Jesus' sake. I recently saw a commercial. I was watching a little bit of the NHL Stanley Cup finals. I watched a little bit of it the other night and saw a commercial where they're advertising the Stanley Cup finals during the Stanley Cup finals. And they're showing all of these players throughout history who are seconds away from winning. And the music is dramatic. And they're showing, you know, Wayne Gretzky, different guys like that. And the time is counting down. And tears are coming to their eyes because it's all, the game's almost over. It's the last game. You know, their team's going to win and have the fourth game of the series and win. And they're seconds away from winning. And I couldn't help but think about, we could be seconds away from being done.
Yeah.
And imagine if we knew, if we could see the countdown. And we say, I'm almost there. Hang on, right? Keep playing hard. Give your all. Leave it all out there on the ice, right? And the Lord is coming soon. We want to finish well. Well, it's been, a blessing to have you here, a blessing to have Pastor Young. And thank you for taking the time to be a part of this conference. I want to encourage you to pray for one another and just continue to do right. And Lord willing, we'll either see you at camp or we'll see you at the next meeting, which is in October. There will be some Zoom meetings. Just keep watching your email for those things. Anything else you want to say, Pastor Fred? Yes, absolutely. Yep. Amen. And our church did a great job putting a lot of work and effort into, and appreciate them very, very much. And I will thank them for you. All right. Well, I am going to ask Pastor Pritchett, if he would, to close us in a word of prayer. Once he's done praying, then you are dismissed. God bless you and have a great afternoon and a safe drive home.
Amen.